Our guest is going to be your new morning drive buddy here on 95.3 The Score starting Monday. You've heard him for years when his show was on in another slot, filling in for Romy. Follow on Twitter, use the handle at DA on CBS. Damon Amendolara joins us. Hey, DA, I appreciate the time. How's life?
Life is good, Steve. Life is good, man. I appreciate you having me on. I'm very excited we're going to be on in your neck of the woods on the station, man. I'm very, very excited about that whole thing coming together like that.
Yeah, so are we. For folks who've heard you but might not know your backstory, if I recall, you grew up in my vicinity. I'm born in Paterson, New Jersey, raised in Wayne. So if you could tell us maybe where you hail from and kind of the sports teams you rooted for and, you know, how you became this fellow sports nut.
Yeah, you know, I grew up not far from where you're talking about in a little town called Warwick, New York, which is in the Hudson Valley in New York. And it's, for people that haven't been out this way, think of West Point and the Hudson Valley and the Hudson River, about an hour and a half outside of New York City. My parents grew up in New York City. They were Brooklynites, and so they were Brooklyn Dodgers fans growing up. And they moved us out to the burbs, if you will. And I was really young when we moved out there, so I don't remember my time in New York City, but grew up kind of a small town and, you know, a comfortable town. And growing up, since the Brooklyn Dodgers had left, my family, extended family as well, including my grandma, became New York Mets fans. So I became a huge New York Mets fan as well and just grew to really love sports in that area. Obviously, professional sports in New York City and in the surrounding areas, always huge. And after that, I went to school in Syracuse, and that's, you know, for those wondering about the geography of New York State, Syracuse is kind of 3 hours to 4 hours north of New York City. So it's about 3 hours from where I grew up, and I grew to love college sports. And when I was at Syracuse, it was the years of Donovan McNabb and Dwight Freeney and Syracuse being ranked, going to the Fiesta Bowl and going to big-time bowl games. And I said, honestly, college sports is so amazing just to be around it, being at the Carrier Dome during those days and being at those big games. So I grew to really love college sports, and then my career took me to a lot of places where college was huge, and that was Florida and Kansas City, and so I kind of grew to love that part of sports as well. And here we are at CBS Sports Radio, kind of talking both professional sports and talking college sports and kind of weaving it all together.
Yeah, all the legends that went to Syracuse, Bob Costas, Marv Albert, and you. I think that's what sticks out to most people, right?
Let's absolutely not put me in that category. I would probably be, if there was a pantheon, it'd be like Costas, Marv Albert, Mike Tirico, Dick Stockton, Sean McDonough, and then you would go like 75 different names after that, and then there'd be another 50 names after that, and then about 50 names after that, I'd be the guy fetching coffee for all those other dudes. But they do have an amazing lineage of sports broadcasters, which is what drew me to go to school there, definitely.
You know, I actually want to get back to the Orange. This is an odd connection, but talking about Dino Babers, because Oregon opened the season with Bowling Green, where Babers did great work, and I talked to their play-by-play guy, Todd Walker, and they just sung the praises. So how pumped are you and the fellow Syracuse alum, not only about this season, but the direction he has this program going?
Well, Steve, I got to tell you, you know, as I mentioned before, I was at Syracuse in the late 90s, early 2000s, when football was just as good as basketball, which is sounds crazy to people now because the basketball program goes to the Final Four and football has been a two- or three-win team so many times. But in the 90s, they were one and the same because Syracuse football was perennially ranked and going to big bowl games, and Syracuse basketball was kind of down. They were going to the Sweet 16, the Round of 32, but they were not a powerhouse. And so to see how dramatically football had slipped was so disappointing and disheartening for so many of the alumni, including myself. And Dino Babers took over 3 years ago and immediately injected optimism and life. And I think your listeners will understand what I'm talking about here when, if they're Ducks fans or fans of the Beavers or whatever, when you have a college football program that has been dormant for a while, and then a coach comes in and says, we're going to give this life, and then you see the evidence of it, there's nothing like it. And Syracuse has won 9 games this year, They were ranked in the top 25 for the last couple of weeks of the season. They're going to a solid bowl game at Orlando. But nothing is as big as getting Dino Babers to stick around. And I think it's kind of amazing. Your listeners are obviously familiar with Willie Taggart. I think the fact that the elite programs of college football this year did not make massive changes. No, Ohio State promoted from within. Florida State kept Taggart. Auburn Tech kept Gus Malzahn. USC kept Clay Helton. The fact that there was stability at the top of these programs meant there wasn't the massive domino effect. And that means Dino Babers, I think, and his agent looked at the landscape and said, well, why don't we stay? This is a good thing we got going right now, which is huge. But no matter what happened to the bowl game, no matter what happened this season, the fact that they could hold on to Babers was maybe the biggest victory of the entire year.
Folks, talking with DA, he and the gang will be starting off many of our mornings starting Monday. And, of course, it wouldn't be the show without one Sean Marash. You need to test the theory of mine. Do you secretly hope the Giants, Yankees, and Rangers run into rough patches or controversy just to see how Sean will react the next day on the air?
Oh, there's no question. Look, my producer, Marash, is he's an unapologetic, yet delusional New York sports fan. And so when it's the Yankees or the Giants or the Rangers, he is out of left field. He is not realistic. He is living in his own little bubble. And so I love it when they collapse. I love it when they're terrible. I love it when they just give him nothing to root for, because he will openly, emotionally melt down in the air. And we've had him cry multiple times in the air. He cried when they traded one of his favorite players. He cried when Derek Jeter retired. He has cried earlier this year when the Giants once again melted down into a pit of mediocrity. And there is no better radio. So if your listeners have not listened to my show before, when they hear me in the mornings coming up here soon, inevitably root for his New York teams to lose, because you will get good theater when he just can't help himself and he's a pathetic, whimpering, crying baby on the air.
Yeah, I think back to Rangers-Tampa Bay in the 2015 East Finals when they got shut out in back-to-back games. I actually felt like I was actually concerned for his well-being, but because that guy is one of a kind. I love it, man. So I wanted to get to something you did earlier this week. D.A., you talked with Ricky Williams, the former Heisman winner, and as you well know, when you do this, sometimes you talk to a player or a coach, and you get the cliche answers, but this guy, how much of a pleasure is it to talk with someone from our world who is just so compelling on so many levels?
You know, I'm glad that you caught that, Steve, because I was... And we were all, myself and the producers on the show, Marash, and we all walked out of that interview going, wow, we were all so mesmerized by how easily the words and the thoughts and the depth came from Ricky Williams. And I think it was interesting because not only, as you mentioned, we don't have many athletes or former athletes that are of that ilk, where they're so well-spoken, they're so open, they're so candid, they put together thoughts so well, they're so articulate, but also knowing Ricky's history. You know, anybody that remembers Ricky Williams in the NFL, whether it was with the Saints or whether it was the Dolphins, he dealt with massive social anxiety. He would wear his helmet in press scrums. He would answer questions with one-word answers. He was sometimes defiant, certainly paranoid of saying the wrong thing. He was suspicious of the media, and he was not approachable from fan standpoint either. And I asked him how he got so open and so articulate and so comfortable, and he said he really had to work at it. He had to kind of search himself and after football, you know, look for ways to improve himself. And I was taken aback by a guy that was so self-aware that he said, this is a flaw of mine, I've got to get better. And now if you talk to him, he couldn't be more forthcoming. He couldn't be more comfortable. And I was just so impressed that a guy could fix his flaw like that and be so open about it, understanding where he used to be. And I thought it gave such a positive message to the listeners that heard that. Hey, you might deal with nervousness, social anxiety, paranoia, thoughts of depression or whatever, but there's ways to really help yourself and to come through it. And I just love that message, and I was really blown away by Ricky. I was really very, very, very happy and appreciative that he would come on the show and share his story.
Yeah, that was sports radio at its best, no question about it. A couple final thoughts for Damon Amendolara, a.k.a. D.A., who will be your 6-9 morning drive guy starting this Monday. I saw you guys talked about Adam Ottavino, the Rockies pitcher. And we hit on this. This is kind of a pet peeve of mine, guys who compare generations, and they do it adamantly like they've got Doc Brown's time machine. So, you know, he said he's going to strike Babe Ruth out every time. He's going to hit 140 with 8 homers. What's your take on commentary like that?
Well, you know, we live in this kind of binary world in sports where if you debate sports, you discuss sports, I'm right, you're wrong. This is the best ever, you're the worst ever. This guy's a bum, this guy's the goat. And that's our reality. And to your point, you can't do that when you talk about different generations. There's just no way to say this guy's the goat and he would dominate now. And there's no way to say that guy was awesome then and he would be a bum now. But I think when I read Ottavino's comments and we discussed it, I thought there was credibility to it. And when I first saw it, I said, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. You're going to talk about the greatest baseball player ever hitting 140 now and get struck out by, you know, a middle-of-the-road reliever. But when you think about it and you really press your brain on this, think about these factors. Babe Ruth never hit against an African-American pitcher. He never hit against a Latin-American pitcher. He never hit against a Latin pitcher, never hit against an Asian pitcher. He only hit, obviously, against white baseball players. He also only hit at a time where I believe there was 10 teams in the American League. There were only 9 other opponents he would ever face the entire season. There's no interleague back in the 20s. Also, on top of that, it's an era where there's no closers. There's no significant bullpen work. You have starters, and there's only a couple of them that go almost every day. And so Babe Ruth was only hitting against, let's say, the same 30 guys all season, every season. And I think that's significant to think about. He was amazing in that generation. I'm not convinced Ottavino strikes him out every time. But when you really compare eras, you realize, yeah, especially if you're drinking beer and eating hot dogs, I'm not so sure Babe Ruth would be very dominant in any other era besides his own.
Yeah, let's call it limited analytics in the 1920s.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I know it's getting late back east. You probably want to watch Chiefs Chargers. So how about one final thought? I'll let you play your own kind of PR guy. So for the listeners out here who might not be all that familiar with your show, let them know what kind of treat they're in for weekday morning here in Eugene.
Well, what I hope, and I talk about this often, is I grew up listening to sports radio and being somewhat bored by it. I didn't want to just hear guys argue. I didn't just want to hear people berate callers. And so I wanted, if I ever got into sports talk, and sports talk kind of found me, I wanted it to be different. And I hope every day my goal is to make you think at least once and make you laugh at least once. And so when you listen to the show, what I hope to deliver every single day is a thoughtful commentary on something you might not have thought about the same way, and to make you laugh. I feel like that is my job here, because everybody has grueling schedules and difficult lives, and news is bad all over the place, and we're always hit with the bad news, and I want it to be kind of an escape to where you feel laughter and you feel community, because our show is really tight and the listeners really love it. And it's really been such a blessing for me to be able to ride this wave. And I think when people listen to it, they'll feel that and they'll feel part of the community. And I hope also, if there's a series of jokes or characters, role players that filter in and out of the show, it's kind of a distinctive voice on the show. It's not just me. There's a lot of different characters that come in and out, and sometimes it's not even about sports. I hope that you give it a little bit of time and a little bit of leash. I think if you give the show a week and you listen to it for 5 days, the first 2 days you go, what is going on? By the final 3 days you'll go, I get it. Okay, I like it. I want to hear more. So I hope people are patient. Just give it a little bit of time. I think you'll like it. And the one thing that it is inclusive. And I have always wanted a show where everybody felt comfortable. And if you disagree with me, welcome aboard. I'm okay with that. If you feel differently than me, welcome aboard. I welcome that. I just want one big party every single day. that makes you think and makes you laugh. And hopefully everybody is excited about it. I know I really am. Eugene's an amazing sports community. I've always dreamt about coming out to a Ducks game. So I'm really fired up that we're going to be on with you guys. And for you, Steve, I appreciate you carrying the torch for us, because you've been a supporter of ours for a long time. You've been awesome to us on social media for a long time. And you clearly are on the same wavelength as us. So it means a lot, man. And we're fired up to be on there.
Awesome, folks. He's DA on CBS Sports Radio 6 to 9 in your morning drive. Hey, DA. Appreciate the time. Congrats on all your success. It's a terrific show. I hope you and yours have a terrific holiday. Give Sean our regards, and I look forward to chatting again once we get a little deeper into 2019.
Back at you, Steve, man. Like I said, thank you for everything that you do for us, and I'm really excited to be on the station, and for the listeners, happy holidays and happy New Year's, and anytime you need anything, Steve, let me know. I'm happy to jump on, brother.
All right. Hey, good to talk to you, buddy. Have a great one.